Anthony Stewart, Hockey Central at noon, Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet's hockey coverage as well. He joins us this morning. Anthony, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you're doing well because you're in Toronto and everything is coming up Toronto these days. Man, they look like they've taken some massive strides with the way they played these last two games against arguably the two best offensive players in the league.
Yeah, if you would have told me that they were going to go back-to-back games and shutting out Connor McDavid and him not getting a point, I would have called you crazy. And, you know, after the first game and, you know, they played Michael Hutchinson last night, I thought he was going to go out for a four-spot, five-spot. But that just shows the buy-in that Coach Sheldon Keefe has with this group, with a lot of these guys buying into the system, playing a good team defensive structure and not really playing that pond hockey, end-to-end hockey type of game.
Is the biggest question you have about this Leafs team, which has separated itself from the rest of the pack in the Canadian division, is your biggest question about whether or not they'll face enough adversity during the regular season to get them ready for the playoffs?
I think this group has gone through a lot of adversity just based on all the man games that they've lost so far this season. You know, they've been without Freddie Anderson for a period of time. Their second string goalie has been in and out of the lineup. They've been, you know, relying on Michael Hutchinson the last couple of games as well too, and you know they've been missing Wayne Simmonds, they're missing you know one of their top prospects in Robertson. Joe Thornton's been in and out of the lineup, so I think they've gone through adversity just based on the fact that they had to manage with what they've had. You know, they had to have guys like Nick Batan step in and out of the lineup, Barabanov, so they had that next man up mentality. So you know, in a 56 game season, there's going to be ups and downs, and I'm sure there's going to be a downwards, you know, bit of a spiral coming, you know, 2-3 game segment, but they've been rolling and they've been relying on a group, not just 2-3 guys that they've done in years past.
Do you see a team that needs to add a third line center or another defenseman before all is said and done?
Well, that would be on the wish list here, but they're up against the cap, and for them to make a move, they're going to have, you know, money going out as well. So how do you do that without disrupting you know, some of the top six guys too? So they'd love to add a guy, but can you go find a good two-way center that can play good team defense, chip in offensively for under $2 million? And I think the answer is no. So if you're going to address that problem, it's going to result in making a decision that you probably don't want to make during season, but probably in the off season during free agency.
Anthony Stewart joining us here today on the Scott Rintoul Show. Far different problems in Calgary right now. Milan Lucic comes out after the game last night and says, you know, sometimes we want it to be too easy. That happens to us too often. Matthew Tkachuk is glowing about how the Ottawa Senators are committed to playing for each other, which gives an inference about what's going on in that Calgary room. What is the biggest issue you see with the Calgary Flames?
I think with them, it's almost like they're waiting for some magic spell to come and just turn things on, turn the power play going, get the goal scoring going. But again, I think with this team here, they're relying too much on their talent. And when the talent isn't really producing and their top guys aren't going, they don't really have enough depth or other guys to really step up. Like last night was a prime example. Offense was really going. You had a result on the power play for Milan Lucic to shoot, go for a rebound, and get to the dirty areas. So that's good for one goal a game or a couple here and there. But you need guys like Monahan and Goudreau. Goudreau, I think, is without a goal in 8 games. He had 2 assists 2 games ago. But they need these guys consistently stepping up. Your go-to guy have to be your go-to guys. Tkachuk has been struggling a little bit as of late. Sean Monahan, I know he's chipping in, but that's sort of been the story since this year and last, where these guys consistently got to run the offense. I know they're getting their points here and there, but they have to be showing up and being the go-to guys every night, and they haven't, and I think that's probably why they're fifth right now in that North Division.
So if you're Brad Treliving and you've changed the coach multiple times in your regime, you've gone out into free agency and made moves that certainly with their biggest two and Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev have paid off despite the fact that Markstrom's injured right now. Have you seen enough to convince you that we need a significant change, whether it's during this season or after this season, to the core group of this hockey club?
Yeah, I think if they don't get into the playoffs and win a round, I think you really have to address what is going on with this core group, and they just haven't got it done, because on paper, this team should probably be in second or third place. So it just seems that this group specifically isn't getting done. I know it's only midpoint of the season here that we're approaching here, but you know, I had them to go on a deep run last year, and they didn't really meet those expectations. So if I'm Treliving, you know, I know it's too tough to really make a knee-jerking move that's going to really make a big impact this year because you're in a pandemic and you can't really make big trades with the U.S. because of the 14-day quarantine period. So this is something that you have to address with this group this season. So if they don't make it to where they need to get to, you have to answer all these questions in the off season and look to move some of these core pieces because I think they need a culture change if they don't go on a run this year.
When I see the lack of emotion from game to game, and it's not every game, but it's not often enough, and I hear players talking about other teams being committed to play for each other, man, those are pretty big red flags and warning signs for me. Did you read it the same way?
I think so. We saw the Battle of Alberta last year, and goalies are fighting, guys are fighting in the stands. It was like almost like slap shot. To this year, there's no real emotion. And that's what you sort of need for a spark when things aren't going well. You need a couple fights. You need a couple big hits. You need to now, you know, find a way to get the group together and say what you want. Matthew Tkachuk, you know, last year in the beginning of the season this year, he dragged his team into the fight where he made sure that the group was going and he needed that, he provided that spark that they needed. But it can't just rest on his shoulders. He's just one guy and he's pretty, you know, they're one of their biggest offensive weapons. So they can't have him every single night, you know, getting into fights, mixing it up. You need other guys stepping up. So I think that's part of their identity and that culture issue that they have, where when things aren't going well offensively, what else are you doing to compete and stay in some of these hockey games? So I think that's part of the issue that they need to address in the offseason.
In conversation with Anthony Stewart this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show, Jack Eichel getting a lot of run again today. If I install you as the manager of the Buffalo Sabres right now, are you considering trading him?
I think you have to, just for his sake, because I'm sure you've had some conversations with him the last couple of years, especially when you signed him to the, what is it, 8-year extension for $80 million, that, hey, we're committed to winning. We're going to make some moves and surround you with some guys that are going to, you know, make sure that we're a contender every single year. But they just seem that they can't get it done, and they bring in guys like Eric Staal, who's been a winner, and he's a guy that's at the end of his career, and I'm sure he wants to win. You brought in Taylor Hall, who's, you know, a Hart Trophy winner from a couple of years ago. So just seeing that there's something in the water with Buffalo where they just can't get it done. So maybe that's a management issue. Maybe it's an ownership issue. I don't really, haven't paid too much attention to that. So if I'm the Buffalo Sabres, I think I owe it to Jack Eichel to find him a better solution if he doesn't want to be a solution to the problem that's in Buffalo. Because you've heard his interviews where, you know, he's very, very competitive. He wants to win. And if it's not going to happen in Buffalo, I think they owe it to him to find a spot where he can move on with his career and be on a contender.
If you're an acquiring team, is Jack Eichel an attractive enough franchise piece that you'd be willing to take Jeff Skinner along with him?
Ooh, that's the $1 million. Is that with money retained or money not retained?
Well, if you're Buffalo, you're trying to move all of it out, but I do wonder if there's a question to be answered.
Just a yes, because I'm a big fan of Jeff Skinner, and he's not a fourth-line player. If you put him on the top six role and you give him first power play minutes, he's going to give you 50, 60 points every single year in an 82-game season. That's a fact. He's that skilled. So I don't know what's going on that he was on the fourth line. He's in the press box. You know, he's a pretty vanilla guy, doesn't really have big quotes in the interview. He goes about his business. He's a pro, but he wants to play. And I still think you don't go from 40 goals, what was it, 2 years ago, to losing your touch overnight. This is not the Monstars in Space Jam. He's still a skilled hockey player. So if I'm a team that finds a way to get that deal done, and, you know, you can't mortgage away your whole entire future and all your prospects and two quality players. If you find a way to find a balanced deal that can really improve your team right now, I think you have to pull the trigger on that.
Did guys talk when you were in the league, and that wasn't that long ago, did guys talk about Buffalo and say, man, I don't want to end up there?
Well, my brother was there, but he had to say all the right things. And, you know, he was in the paper saying, hey, you know, we're going to make the playoffs, and they missed the playoffs, I think, by like 30 points. So the one thing I can say is the guys that live there, they actually love it. It's a really big sports town. It's a little bit cold, but they love it. They love coming to the rink and cleaning the snow off their cars every single day too. But there's been some questions just about the direction of management and ownership and the lack of stability with that. But Buffalo is a great town for guys to play in. They just need them to get their act together.
Anthony Stewart with us this morning here on the Scott Rintoul Show. Game day for the Vancouver Canucks, coming off one of their most complete games of the season, another victory over the Winnipeg Jets. They're 2-0 in that rink so far, and they'll play there again tonight. Vancouver's not as bad, you and I would agree, as 2-9-2 last month. That doesn't mean they're good enough to make the playoffs this year. What's been your view overall of this team?
I think they were another team that was just trying to rely on talent and get by on Quinn Hughes and Pettersson, just, you know, going off on the power play and winning games 6-5, 7-6. But, to have success in this league, you've got to find a way to get down and dirty and get to the trenches. I think that's why they were successful last night's game. They got back to the basics. They got pucks in deep on two or three of their goals. They actually just went D to D, point shot, shot for stick, redirect. So they're getting back to those basics where, when they were struggling against Edmonton to score goals, they were trying to be too fancy with crossing passes on the power play and just trying to be a little bit too pretty. But when things aren't going well and there's ups and downs when the offense goes hot and cold, you got to find a way to get back to those basics. So it seems that Travis Green got them going last night against the Winnipeg Jets, so we can see if they can get it done in back-to-back games.
When you look at this team moving forward beyond this year, because they just may have dug too big of a hole to get out of relative to the landscape in the Canadian division, like for them to come back and make the playoffs somehow would have to be some sort of unprecedented run for them. It would be St. Louis Blues-esque to get into the postseason in this division. But as you look at them moving forward, Anthony, do you see a team that just has to wait out and then maybe stomach some buyouts along the way to move some of that bottom six money out and they're going to be fine long term? Or do you have real questions about what the future holds for Vancouver?
Yeah, and you work with Brian Burke, who just went with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he said that the key to the success in the National Hockey League is you have to get good real quick or bad real quick. So it just seems like Vancouver's sort of in that middle ground where they're like, they're good enough to get in the playoffs, but are they good enough to really contend? So I think they got to find a way to make some long-term moves, clear some cap space, which is tough. It's tough in this day and age to get rid of these contracts without buying them out and sort of, handcuffing yourself financially. But the good thing is the future is bright. They have stars. Say what you want. Quinn Hughes is going to be a star in the league. Pedersen is already a star in this league. JT Miller, when he's on, he's great too. So they have some really, really good pieces. Demko seems like he's rounding a corner right now too. So they have some of these good core pieces. I think they got to find a way to now add complementary guys that aren't on 3-year, 4-year, 5-year deals at $2.5 to $4.5 million. So they can find some guys to complement these stars that they're going to have to pay big, big money. I think that's how they get out of this rut that they're in long term.
You talked about Elias Pettersson being a star already. What does Elias Pettersson's ceiling look like to you? What does the top end look like for him as he continues to develop?
I think he can be a 90-point, 100-point guy in this league too, and I think it's a part of the evolution. He's got to learn to do those finer detailed things. And when things aren't going well, what are you doing? If you're not putting up 2 points a game, are you getting in on the back check? Are you playing good team defense? And for him, I'd like him to be a little bit more dynamic on the power play. He's got the big one-time shot that's sort of going over the net a lot. He's hitting a lot of posts. But in my opinion, he can control a game. He can now game break. If it's 2-2, he can score that big goal. If you're down two goals, he's that player. He's that dynamic. So he's going to be a star. I think he already is a star. And again, it's tough. We're in a pandemic year where guys aren't used to this year, this off season. It's a long off season. You don't know how to train. You don't know how to eat properly. So that's no excuse, but I'm going to give this year sort of a bit of a runoff here. But come next year, I think you're going to see the real Elias Pettersson, where he's going to come in and take this league by storm.
Well, you bring up a really good point. How much as a manager should you read into this year based on the fact that it's a division you're never going to see again, it's a shorter schedule, and all of those things you mentioned about the offseason as well?
Well, it's tough with the Vancouver Canucks because a lot of these problems were created a couple of years ago, so you can't say, it's a pandemic year. Again, a lot of these cap problems were created from contracts they handed out a couple of years ago, but if I'm ownership and I'm going and I'm saying, hey, it's tough. There's no fans in the stands. Guys are dealing with injuries. We got COVID. Guys are going in and out of the protocol. So if long term, if I'm looking for stability, I'm not making any knee jerk reactions. I'm going to wait probably until game 10, 15, 20 next year to really see where your team is as an organization.
The Winnipeg Jets have been patient over the years. I talked about this yesterday. I didn't know where they were going to land. I thought they were the biggest fluctuator, if you will, in this division. Like if things went really well, they could be where they are right now, or they might be down in sixth. And it has gone the former as opposed to the latter. When you watch Winnipeg this year, what do you see and how much prospect do you see for them actually getting better now?
Well, I see a top six in the North Division that can compete with any single one of them. I think they're just as talented as the Maple Leafs in their top six, and they're depth guys. They got Adam Lowry as your third-line center who can play some big, heavy minutes, and Perreault's on the fourth line. Nate Thompson is your prototypical fourth line center. Trevor Lewis is on the wing as too. So, you know, the one question was their depth. They lost, you know, over the last couple of years, I think their whole entire defensive core, but they've had guys step up in Pullman and Pionk and Morrissey. But I think the real X factor is Hellebuck. So as long as Hellebuck is playing his 920, 925 hockey, I think they're going to be good. So my question was the depth on defense, but Coach Paul Maurice has them buying in, playing the system, and they're compensating for any shortcomings that they have on the back end. So, they added Pierre-Luc Dubois. There's no reason to think that the Winnipeg Jets will not be a contender in this North Division.
Ottawa and Montreal play tonight. That's the other Canadian matchup. What do you think's going on with Carey Price?
It's pandemic. It's a pandemic, and it's tough. And you know, I played in a lot of markets that there wasn't a lot of media pressure, but you know, now that I'm in media now, just seeing how tough it can be on your psyche. One bad game or one bad goal, you're on the front page of the newspaper. So when you've been around the league that long, to have that pressure now is very, very tough. And in Montreal, you know, you're bad in two languages now when they're getting on top of you. So I think with him, they just need to rally around him. I still think he's a top five goaltender in the National Hockey League. You can throw all the analytics. You can throw, I'm going with the eye test here, what he did against the Pittsburgh Penguins, winning that series by himself. He's still a top-quality goaltender. I believe he'll be the starter on the Olympic team. There's ups and downs in every season, but I'll chalk this up and this spell and this rut to COVID.
I know you can't say for certain because you're not a player in this time. You mentioned with everything going on right now in the media, on one hand, these players are doing less media than they've ever done before, and the people who are questioning them, they're not right in front of them. There aren't literal microphones in front of their face, and yet they do have more free time, and perhaps, depending on the personality, you would read more articles or you would hear more things about yourself. Do you view this as a tougher media environment or an easier one for Canadian players on Canadian teams, to operate in?
I would say tougher, because now without being in people's faces, you're sitting in your pajamas at home. You're a little bit more braver to ask the question that it'd be tough for you to ask to their face. And Twitter, you know, a lot of these players are on Twitter, and you go hashtags and type in your name. There's going to be a lot of negativity now, and especially on the road now, these players are just sitting around in their hotel rooms, not much to do. Of course, they're on Twitter and on social media reading the headlines and reading all the articles because they have nothing better to do. So that is a big, big part of it, too, where, you know, as much as you read the positive, you read the negative as well, and that can affect your game. So I think now with the media not being face-to-face, they get a little bit braver in asking some of those questions, and it definitely affects the players.
Dude, do I have my camera on my computer on? How do you know I'm in my pajamas doing this?
Yeah, I know it. I see you.
You're gonna have to wear yours on set one day.
No, I'll stick to Elliot with the fashion choices with the with the turtlenecks and all the fancy wear that he wears.
Yeah, he is certainly the fashion mogul of that show, that's for sure. Hey, Anthony, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the insight today. Keep up the good work, and we'll do this again soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me. Go Canucks, go.